Hey there, this is Ari, and welcome back to the Energy Blueprint podcast. Today, I have a very interesting guest for you. His name is Mark Eppinger, otherwise known as Mr. Newts, as in nootropics. And he is the chief product officer and formulator of a line of nootropic supplements from a company called Nootopia. And this is a line of products I've known about now for about a year. I have not tried any of these products yet. They are, as I'm publishing this podcast, they are sending me some to try out, and I will certainly update with my thoughts on them. As far as the formulations themselves, they look very interesting. However, many of the compounds in them are trademarked, and it's hard to know what's actually in the formulas, and therefore it's very hard to evaluate them from the perspective of the body of established scientific literature, peer-reviewed, journal-published data on different compounds and their effects, which is, generally speaking, where we draw conclusions from or where we can infer opinions about certain formulations. Like, I can look at any formulation on Amazon and say, oh, you know, it's only got 1/10 the proper dosage of this compound, or it doesn't have this key compound, it doesn't have that key compound, or it's underdosed by a factor of, you know, 1/120th of the proper amounts of all these different compounds. Or, you know, it's just a silly little formula that they're, you know, very commonly you see things that are like, you know, they throw some B vitamins in there, some vitamin C, and then a couple, you know, herbs of various kinds that are, you know, not anywhere close to the effective dosage. What Nootopia is doing is very different, which is potentially very good. But the other side of it is that it makes it pretty much impossible for me to actually objectively evaluate what they're doing from the perspective of the established science. Now, their body of knowledge of data in formulating these supplements has come out of many, many years of Mr. Newts's personal experimentation initially, and then using these experimentations of concoctions of mixtures of these different compounds, and having many, many thousands of people try them out. And then they can, as you'll hear in this podcast, we discuss how they sort of inferred patterns in the data to identify what's working or what's not working. So really, they have their own sort of internal body of data that they're pulling from, and their own sort of internal experimentations and the reports from people when they try this or that version of the formulation. And that's really their own separate internal body of knowledge from the broader scientific literature. So again, potentially very good, potentially very exciting. And the only downside is it's very difficult for me to evaluate them. I also wish that I could share my own personal thoughts with you on them. And I will do that eventually after I try them. In the meantime, there certainly are many people reporting very, very positive effects using these formulas. And Mr. Newts is, Mark, is a wonderful, highly intelligent guy who seems to be doing brilliant work. So with all of that said, I hope you enjoy this fascinating podcast. And if you do decide to try out Nootopia supplements, we will provide a discount code for you to do that. That will give you 10% off. You can get that at theenergyblueprint.com/Nootopia, Nootopia. And certainly also give me feedback. Let me know how you liked their products. If you've already tried their products, I'd be curious to hear your reports on the efficacy and what sort of effects you notice or which products worked for you in a noticeable way. And with no further ado, I hope you enjoy this discussion with Mr. Newts.
So welcome, Mr. Newts. Such a pleasure to have you, Mark.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Really, really glad to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. I've been aware of your company for, I think, at least maybe 6 months or maybe closer to a year at this point. And I will say I have not yet tried your supplements, in part because I do some of my own. And I'm also very intrigued by what you're doing.
That's a fail on our part then, because I should have had some in your hands before, where we had, so you could either light up or tell me what the heck's going on.
You guys failed me. We should just cancel the whole podcast right away.
That's it. That's it. It's been great, man.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you in a few months after I try your supplements. No. So, I am certainly interested in trying them. First of all, let's talk about what was the catalyst for you, because you have an interesting background. It sounds like you've been geeking out on technology since you were a little kid. What led you to become Mr. Newts?
It's funny. A couple of things. One is I had a company serving. Thank you so much. My sweetheart just brought me grapes because I'm in a I'm not keto today, and I was getting into a glucose coma. And so she and my dog brought me grapes. How cool is that?
Nice.
Yeah. So there's a number of different trajectories that this has taken, and data points that led to this. Outside of being a total geek when I was young and getting my
back here, check this out. Right? My first chemistry set.
That's your actual first chemistry set?
Actual first chemistry set, 1967.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, that's the whole like 1950 style packaging on there.
Oh yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great? So the next one was four times that size. So It's great. But and then I worked at a clinical lab when I was younger as well. My stepdad owned a clinical laboratory when I was in my teens. But chemistry was always a bit chemistry and kind of extraction technologies. I started working with vacuum pumps when I was 6, 7, 8, built my first laser when I was 9 and a half. So I had this interest in technology. Chemistry was a huge part of that because it's got an infinite horizon and it's got so many variables you can play with, and things like frequency, timing. I think you're familiar with kinesiology and some of the other aspects. So, there are so many different ways for you to affect a molecule and get it to do special things, or get it to, it jumps through hoops for you. It can bond to certain things that you'd never expect. It can release at certain pH in your gut. So there's all kinds of fun you can play with those. But as we fast forward, back in the 1998, my wife at the time was having our last child on the couch in front of the fireplace. It was a pretty cool event. In fact, she tore a little bit. While she was tearing, she grabbed my hand and just about crushed it and said, "You're getting cut." So that was,
there was a, you just reminded me, of a birthing. I don't know if it was a quilt, it was some kind of embroidery, from some native tribe somewhere, I think in South America. And it depicted a scene where the woman was giving birth and then she was tugging on some strings that were connected up to her husband's testicles. And then it was like surrounded by all the other parts of the tribe. But this was like part of the ritualistic traditions. Like, if I'm suffering, you are going to suffer.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 It was very similar to that. So it was a great birth, but, and it, you know, we had all of our, I have three children and all three children were born at home. But, on this one, the midwife, bought into Sackler's story and decided that my wife needed 4 oxycodone. And those
what
four
Sackler's story?
Oh, so, yeah. So Sackler is the family that were the founders of oxycodone, OxyContin.
Ah, okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yep. The doctor and the rest that, or that not doctor, the, so anyhow, my wife, was immediately addicted. She found her muse. And wow. So over the next 10 years, she just went deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole of that until she committed suicide in 2008 as a result of that. So, I had built a cognitive performance technology company, a nutrition company back in the 90s and handed it off to my partner. And then I bought the ruins of it back in 2008 and said, somebody's got to solve this problem. And that kind of led to, and I knew that a couple things. I had a family member who had been a drug addict. I had had a couple of close friends from school who had been drug addicts. I was super fortunate that I, as much as I experimented and did, you know, all the kinds of things that you might do in high school and before, is I found that cognitive performance was much more meaningful and valuable than my highest high. So I leaned into cognitive performance. And so as a result of that, I didn't get into the drugs as much. I mean, I did, I did plenty. I smoked weed from fifth grade to seventh grade, and then from 10th grade and until I hit 20. But I found that getting out of it took a long time. Like, I was an athlete. I was a hardcore athlete. And even sweating every day, working my ass off, whether it was weights or running or bicycling or mountain climbing or hang gliding or motorcycle road racing, is no matter how much I stressed my body, hormetic stress, of course, is I wasn't able to immediately shed myself of the cognitive decline that weed brought to me. So, and I didn't like the feeling of a lot of the other drugs. So anyhow, that led into that. So now Tish is, you know, has passed away. I've got these three kids, and we figure out that if I start combining molecules, starting with amino acid and amino acid chelates, and then other components, that I can start to achieve levels of cognitive performance. So in 2008, I started that. By 2012, I had done 3,000 different experiments with that and had arrived at a formula that actually worked. So I was in, I was a co-founder of a company called Idea Fisher with a guy named Marsh Fisher, hence Idea Fisher, who was the co-founder of Century 21 Real Estate. And so I had almost 400,000 customers who were smart people that like to use software to expand their minds. And so I reached out to them and started sending them samples of these neurochemical precursors in what they call stacks, where you've got various nutrients stacked up, and begging for their input. And so I built an online form and said, tell us, you know, tell me how it's working for you. And over time, was able to realize that one of the big components, you'll be familiar with this, one of the big challenges that people have cognitively is that they're dealing with non-cognitive issues, meaning they've got inflammatory issues, right? They've got, you know, maybe they've got an oxidation, you know, severe oxidation. They've got a pain point maybe they're dealing with. And any of those factors will have a tendency to get in the way of what we would consider, you know, prime cognitive performance. So as I was building these stacks using, again, I started with pyroglutamic acid was the first amino acid that I started compounding with. And then I started doing extractions of that, and I started doing combinations with that. And then I did piracetam and, you know, and aniracetam and oxiracetam and all the racetams and then the peptides. And what I found was that there are, once you get rid of oxidative stress, you get rid of, or you reduce oxidative stress, you reduce inflammation, you make sure you have enough B vitamins that you can get enzymatic activity happening in the body. And then you have some form of stimulant layer that helps when you've got neurochemical precursors going through the blood-brain barrier into the brain. They present a load on the brain while they're breaking apart and turning into the prime to, you know, whether turning into dopamine or serotonin or GABA, right, or noradrenaline. As they're converting into those, they put a load on your system. And so if you do the right kinds of stim layer, you can overcome that load while this chemical decomposition is happening. And then once those neurochemicals are primed and ready to go, then that stim fades away and you actually get this lift, this clarity and cognitive performance as a result of those things. So that's kind of what I did. And I built stacks around that. And then lastly, I added a critical component, which was what's called a choline donor, is when you start really clocking your brain and start getting this really high performance of activity, you're starting to use choline or acetylcholine at a very high rate. because you're using acetylcholine at a high rate, if you don't have enough available within the brain, it'll start taking it from the neck muscles and the traps, and you'll start getting what feels like a headache. And it's actually just a neck ache. It's the choline being drawn out of those muscles. And so, yeah, so anyhow, built those stacks, and that's how we started. And it became very quickly, the movie Limitless came out, and that happened to be a catalyst for everybody that wanted to be in the nootropics world or explore cognitive performance enhancement. And that's kind of what brought us to this point.
Gotcha. So what's the focus of your product line? Is it more to deal with, you know, cognitively challenged elderly people with dementia, or is it more high power CEOs in their 20s and 30s and 40s who are looking to ramp up their performance?
It spans the gamut, but originally being, you know, relatively young at the time, I wanted to directly address high performance clients who happen to be the ones that use my software. But what we found was they were giving it to their mothers and fathers and their uncles and grandfathers who were having cognitive delays. I don't know if you know, but you know, you start adding milliseconds to the synaptic response. It doesn't take long until you're edging into dementia. Mm-hmm. So that was a key thing, but it started out as performance. But what we really leaned into, Ari, was state change. The idea was, yeah, you can get like we could make a formula that gives you cognitive performance, and we could customize it for you based on your weight and your height and your sex and your age and what nutrients you take and what kind of workouts you do and how often you work out and all of those things, what meds you might be on, and then your performance goals, which we do. Everybody gets a custom product. These are not made en masse. They're made for you. So that's kind of how we dealt with that. But our big thing, and this was something that came with the Mr. Newt's a naming schema, which Matt Gallant had developed when we merged companies a couple years ago, is that state change is really what people are looking for ultimately. Yes, we all want the cognitive performance enhancement because that affects almost everything else in our lives. But we also want to be either happier or more loving or more focused or more, more intuitive. We want to have those characteristics. So we built a range of solutions that address those very products. It looks almost like you've got like my glass.
Cheers. Yours is a little fancier. What are you drinking? Are you drinking one of your nootropic formulas?
Oh yeah, yeah. Nectar
out of
X.
A chemistry beaker, or are you just drinking lab chemicals?
Yeah. It could be either, could be both. This is called Nectar X. So this is kind of our primary. This is the first product that I developed. So this one came out in 2012 and it was kind of the basis for what I built. And then what happened was I would get customers that say, great, now my cognitive performance is on. Now I'm rocking it. But I have aggro moods because I'm on roids, or I need more focus. And this is helping me get off Adderall, but I'm not focused enough. Is there anything you can do for more focus? Or can you get me happy? Can you help me become happier? And so I started developing around those neurochemical profiles, and it made a profound difference because no longer were we just dealing with people's cognitive performance piece, which was significant. We were also enhancing cognitive performance while also getting them into the mental state that helps them achieve the kind of performance that they need, like loving somebody, like being kind, like being tough when you need to be, like being unstressed. We built this called Zamner Juice. It's a name that Matt Gallant used when he and his buddy Wade, the founders of Bioptimizers, when they would go to raves and they would get in the perfect zone at a rave, they called it being Zamner. So in the Zamner zone. So I had a client who owned medical labs or medical clinics, I should say, in the Portland metro area. That's where I started this thing. Portland, Oregon. And she came to me and said, I'm about to blow up on with road rage, traveling between these things, going from Portland to Vancouver, Washington, which is Interstate 5 and Interstate 205, which just become traffic jams for most of the day. And so I built her a GABA-centric instantaneous sublingual spray that puts her into the GABA zone, or the Xanax zone in this case, with, you know, 4 to 6 sprays, hits immediately, makes you feel chill, but not feel sleepy. And that was kind of one of those state change effects that, that we try to accomplish now. So, mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm curious, actually, being a supplement manufacturer myself and knowing how it typically works, and the brief rundown for listeners is what a lot of company, I would say most companies are doing, is they are simply white labeling other existing formulas from bigger manufacturers. They're just slapping their own label on somebody else's formula, and then they can say, hey, here's my formula, come get my formula. And then, you know, that's its own thing. It's very common. It's rampant in the industry. What I do and what Nuotopia does is make custom formulas. However, with my formulas, they require ordering minimum order quantities. Batches have to be made where they order all the raw ingredients. They put it in a giant mixing tub. They mix them all together, and then they bottle them in batches of, you know, 3,000, 5,000, 8,000 at a time. So given that, I am wondering how you guys do individualized formulas. Do you guys have your own manufacturing house in-house? And yes. How does that work? How can you sort of take input from someone based on their weight or their activity level or other factors and say, we're going to make you a custom mixture?
We're edging toward that's a great question. Second, I respect another dude in the industry who actually understands how to do it right, because a lot of people don't understand what it takes. And you're absolutely right about the proliferation of white label, quote unquote, solutions out there that are just repackaged. Some good marketing, some marketing sucks. But regardless, the products are pretty much standardized across the board. Mm-hmm. I've always loved to do hard things. Part of the science and manufacturing. I've been in laser technology. This is my 18th company. So I've been through the gamut of starting, building, if necessary, funding, hiring a CEO that's better. I'm a geek. I like to geek, and I like a CEO to CEO, and I don't do that as well. And so the thing with this was I could only get between 30 and 42% effectiveness if I didn't customize nootropics. Now, there are other nutrient supplements that you can have a much higher affinity for, because they're base and they're necessary. When you're getting to performance levels, customization and personalization become critical aspects of how the components work within your neurology and physiology. So I started literally on my brother's kitchen table. There's a big backstory on that. I'll share some today. And I started customizing them based on the forms that my beta testers had filled out. They gave us enough data on the forms that I could say, oh, if you're 46 years old, you work out 3 times a week, you go cyclical keto, you've got a big sleeping problem, you drink a ton of caffeine during the day, you have a 2:30 crash in the afternoon, you're doing a lot of things right, but you're doing a ton of things wrong. And you're on statins, you're on simvastatin, and you still believe that 85 milligrams of aspirin a day is going to save you from a heart attack. Well, it creates intestinal bleeding. So all of these factors I was taking into account as I started working with these prototype clients. I had a little over 1,000 prototype clients. And so that gave me a base to work from. And I was able to move the needle from that 30 to 42% up to as much as a 97.X%, 97.2, 97.5% efficacy. That took a lot of customization, a lot of profile. And at the time, it was only one product. So it was what is now Nectar X.
And so, and NectarX is a, excuse me, it's a powder in a test tube, because there was no freaking way I could fit all of the components into, here it is. I couldn't fit all of everything necessary into a capsule. I tried and tried and tried. And the two factors that were involved in that were I couldn't fit it all in a capsule. And if I did a ton of capsules, I couldn't predict the dissolve rate would be correct to be able to get everything at the right pH in your body to be, you know, to resolve through the gut and into the bloodstream and then through the blood-brain barrier. So I made a drink out of it, and that worked really well. We've, at the time, we now have nearly 20 million data points that we've collected from our clients collectively, like over the time, over 160,000 people have sampled our works. And as a result of that, we have a pretty good data mining capacity. So, and, you know, we don't just, again, we don't just sell a product in a pill and then good luck. It is a capsule that, based on your data points that you've given us, if, especially if you're accurate, if you don't lie, we originally would have people that were coke fiends or, you know, or stealing Adderall from their sister. And so they might deviate on those numbers. And then on the second round, they would go, here's the truth. And on the third round, they would say, here's even more of the truth. And that allowed us to get closer and closer and closer to the absolute ideal formulation that's going to move the needle for them and help keep them at a higher performance.
I have two reactions to everything you just said. One is, it sounds like an immensely impressive data set. And the second reaction is, it sounds like an incredibly messy data set that would be almost impossible to draw any kind of conclusions from or pull patterns from in a reliable way. And then it would require also to know that the way that you're changing the formulas for the individual would require then doing more experimentation to give them certain formulas with altered ratios of these different compounds. Yep. And then identifying that person, that this mix of 1,000 people who have a million different confounding variables, but maybe have something overlapping where they are all low carb dieters or exercisers or something like that, responded better to the mix that had 175 milligrams of so-and-so instead of only 100 milligrams of so-and-so. I mean, it sounds like, to do that in a way where you can actually be confident in your data sounds extraordinarily difficult.
It is not easy. I've hired a roboticist who is now helping us to automate some of these approaches, because it is hard. We're scaling up with people, and we've been doing that now since 2012. And it's such a weird process when you actually, you know, you come into the lab and you see how our employees are working and what they're working on. Since you've probably built capsules by hand at one time, you've probably done anywhere from the original capsule racks of 20 capsules or 100 capsules and then maybe 240.
Don't remind me, Mark. It was traumatizing. It was painful. It was hours of work to put these damn powders into capsules.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it's funny because I still have some acrylic racks down in the, I've got a three-story 24,000 square foot lab here in Burlington, Iowa, right out of the Mississippi. So, and then we've got our manufacturing in Vancouver, Washington. It's still a daunting vision when you have a rack of 400 capsules and you're segmenting those per client. And then you're taking that even further and looking at a feedback form. So they've done an intake form that's given us the data that we need to formulate their first round. And then they use an app on their, you know, whether it's their phone or their watch or whatever, to give us minute by minute data, you know, whatever they want to do and say, oh, this makes me feel good right now, or it doesn't make me feel good 4 hours later, or this lasted all day, I love it. Or this, I want to have a little bit more of this feeling, this state operation versus this one.
And then we take that data and we compile it into that individual's customization again. And we have a pretty good understanding of what the components do, how they affect people. We've had enough data feedback. I mean, we've been doing this again since 2008 and 2012, actually shipping out to customers. So this is not something we just threw together and said, we'll figure it out on the way. Mm-hmm. And we are getting better. Every week we get better because we have, again, more data to work with. We also have one of the top 5 AI technologists on our team who's very good at being able to extract data and turn it into something meaningful. Mm-hmm. And we have, we try to keep the feedback loop short and tight. Mm-hmm. So that you give us an input, we build, and then you tell us how that's working for you. And we turn that into, you know, meaningful concentrations of the various nutrients and supplements and extracts.
So. Got it. Okay. So I've spent some time on your site looking at ingredients in these different formulas that you're selling. And mm-hmm. I noticed that Omnipept is featured heavily. And that was something that I'd never seen before. So I remember when I first came across this many months ago, I started to Google Omnipept, and it was a trademarked term that you guys own, and it's not clear what's in it. And you have many different variations, Omnipept O and maybe 1S. I think there's, if I remember correctly, probably a few more different yep. Omnipeps. What is Omnipept? Why is it so featured in so many of your different formulas?
When we were doing the amino acid chelate process, extraction process, as well as bonding process, we found that we could get a leveraged result by adding certain components to an amino acid and making that amino acid perform better or to amplify its output. So you know what phenylalanine, you know the L-tyrosine dopamine, right, pathway, right? Phenylalanine, L-tyrosine, L-dopa, right? And then so in that same way, we were able to take amino acid chelates, propagate them, and amplify their effects so that you could take 250 milligrams and make it act like grams of X. So in my case, starting with these heavy amino acids, like pyroglutamic acid, well, it takes 4 to 6 grams of pyroglutamic acid to have a meaningful outcome. And it does work and it is effective. The challenge is that the load on your system is so high. The only time I could take it effectively was take it at night, wait for the morning for its full process to have happened. I'd get about 2.5 hours of good performance and then I'd fall off a cliff on the performance. But if I took a microdose of pyroglutamic acid, I potentiated it with acetyl L-tyrosine, then I could get a significantly better result from that. And then if I took that and I bound it to, say, an oil, right, or a long chain component, I could get it to last for a very long time. And then if I buffered it and then I added something like a B vitamin, then I could suddenly get it to perform it at another level because the enzymatic activity of the B vitamins would elevate it. So that's how those came about. And it was a brutal process of trying over and over and over and over to combine elements and then extract components of them, molecules that would make meaning and work for us. In fact, our laboratory here is called Masters of Molecules, because that's kind of what we like to promote.
Mm-hmm. Given sort of the novelty of some of what you're doing, a lot of what you're doing with these ingredients and mixtures of different ingredients and the interactions between these ingredients to optimize effects, how confident are you? Well, let me phrase it this way. If I was doing that, I would be concerned there might be some unintended side effects. When you play with compounds in new ways and you get them to act in different ways and interact with each other, I start wondering, is there more of a potential for unintended side effects here?
That's an absolutely great question. So we have 7 PhDs and 13 PhD candidates in Bosnia at a lab at the Birch University there. And their full-time job is to take anything that we are working with, whether it's an existing compound or a compound that we're creating, and they do heavy, hardcore analysis on it, you know, in vitro, in vivo, and in silico to see how this stuff works. In a computer, they've got a, a massive, they've got a massive computer bank that all it does is look.
I've never heard that term. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Janan is our master of molecules in that area, which is molecular docking technology. So he's the kind of person that looks at mRNA type of response and says, oh, there's an opening right here in the cell wall. We can play with that opening and we can actually exploit that in positive ways and create something that's meaningful. And or this amino acid reacts like this as it goes through the membrane. Or if we use a phospholipid with this, the, you know, the adoption of it will be much higher and it'll have this half-life versus another half-life. Mm-hmm. So we do those experiments on a daily basis. In fact, this morning at 9 a.m. to 10:15 every Tuesday, I have a meeting with Matt Gallant and all of our Bosnian team, and they show us reams and reams of data that they've collected from that week's worth of work. And they're an incredible team. We're continuing to expand that, by the way.
Very, very so cool.
We're committed, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's very interesting. There's stuff here that I wonder when you start to push these buttons in the brain and you start to push on certain neurotransmitter switches and get a certain effect, I wonder about the downside. So one of mm-hmm. the and thank you, like, I want to be clear, like, to thank you for allowing me to play devil's advocate a bit and engage
great.
With me in this way.
Ari, I was, you know, one of the reasons that I was excited about this conversation was that I realized I would get to deal with I've done a lot of podcasts, and the number of people that have your depth of knowledge as well as your breadth is rare. And so to me, it's awesome because we get to play in a sandbox that normally I don't get to play in. So
beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate the kind words, and the feeling's very mutual. And you certainly know a lot about this. You know, you've been experimenting for a lot longer with nootropics and brain optimization than I have. So, and in very unique ways, running your own, you know, novel experiments. So you've created this very big body of knowledge in a very unique thing that no one else shares with you. So, one of the things that's, I think, little known, but is actually a really big and important thing, is the feedback loops in the brain on, for example, how caffeine works. So caffeine works through a few different mechanisms, but predominantly through adenosine. And mm-hmm. it plugs up these adenosine receptors, which is plugging up the receptors for a neurotransmitter that would otherwise be lowering your energy levels, making you sleepy. But and that is how caffeine creates. And I know I'm not educating you here, Mark. I know you understand this.
No, this is great. This is great. Keep going,
man. For listeners, I want them to understand as context for what I'm going to ask you. by plugging up the receptors, by blocking a neurotransmitter that would otherwise be making you sleepy, lowering your energy, you create a stimulating, energizing effect. That's the stimulant basis for caffeine. And all of that sounds great. It sounds wonderful, and it actually works really well in the short term. And it does create a genuine boost in alertness, wakefulness, reaction time, athletic performance, cognitive performance, all kinds of different metrics that we can measure and show there is a genuine improvement from this stimulant activity in the brain. The problem is the brain likes to maintain a certain balance of neurochemicals, a balance of stimulating neurotransmitters and inhibitory neurotransmitters. And when you introduce caffeine in large enough amounts, which is usually just a couple cups of coffee a day or more, or some energy drinks or stimulant pills, and you start to push that button frequently enough on a daily basis, the brain basically says, we're being overstimulated. let's bring the system back into balance. And it does that by making adaptations, like increasing the amount of adenosine receptors on the brain, increasing the amount of adenosine in the brain, which in the absence of caffeine, when the caffeine leaves your system, now you're left with increased adenosine signaling on a baseline level, which actually lowers your baseline levels of energy and mood and wakefulness and cognitive function. And so what was initially a boon that granted you increased alertness and reaction time and performance, now actually insidiously, what most people don't realize this is happening, actually lowered your energy levels and brain function. So, and similarly, I'll introduce one more layer here. Anna Lemke's work, she wrote the book Dopamine Nation. She talks a lot about how the brain likes balance, right? You give too much of a pleasure stimulus, you push that button too hard, and then the brain counterbalances by pushing you into pain. And so one of the things that I've kind of become more attuned to is getting something for nothing usually has a consequence. And so I wonder, like, when we start to play, like the marketing on your site and kind of the effects of these different compounds, this one boosts your energy, gives you all the energy. This one gives you limitless focus. You know, this one does this, this one does that. And you got like 9 different formulas that, you know, have very, have language like that, that talks about these amazing benefits. I wonder to what extent on the other side of that you're going to create negative adaptations, neurotransmitter adaptations at the level of the brain that are going to create worse brain function in the absence of these chemicals.
This is such an important conversation. You talk about Andrew Huberman is one of my heroes in the industry as well. So talking about dopamine, his favorite as well. And he talks about in adenosine receptor agonism and morning wakefulness outside of getting sunlight in the eyes, but also holding off on your first cup of Java till 90 minutes to 2 hours from wake up time to let the adenosine activity, right, start to come down so that now you can, you know, now you can actually take advantage of this and you're not going to be pushing it off until the adenosine is built up to such a level that immediately after the caffeine unplugs those receptors, it gets flooded with adenosine and suddenly you feel like crap and you have a 2 p.m. crash and all of those factors. Upregulation and downregulation are key factors that we take into consideration in everything we do. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of components of that, but one of the things that we highly recommend, and we actually build a profile for it, is, you know, we actually have a booklet that comes with this, and there's a PDF online you can get, and a neurotransmitter test that we give you as well. Our whole thing is, rather than work directly with the neurotransmitter, let's work with the precursors, and let's work with signaling molecules to be able to get the conversion process or the demand for specific neurotransmitters or neurochemicals to be in alignment with your own neurology and physiology and goals. So rather than forcing a specific neurotransmitter through the blood-brain barrier into the brain and then signaling to go downregulate, which we saw, here's where I first both experienced it and realized that I needed to make something that in everything that we made, we had to be able to beat this issue that you just shared. And that was, I started studying Adderall pretty heavily because Adderall was kind of the gold standard in people getting wakefulness and focus, right? And it's a high dopaminergic dopa flow. The challenge is whether it's that or whether it's Molly for people going to raves and they wanted to, right? They wanted this big serotonin thing, is when you start flooding the brain with those neurotransmitters and neurochemicals, you start downregulating. When you downregulate, you're signaling your body to quit making it. I got enough. I don't need any more. Clearly I've got enough, right? Because I'm overstimmed. I've got too much serotonin. I'm starting to get sweats. My stomach is upset, whatever the cofactors are you hear. We want to do the opposite, which was there are processes, enzymatic processes, and Bioptimizers is an enzyme company. It's very well known for its gut health. So there are enzymatic processes in the body and the brain that are responsible for converting certain raw amino acids and components and pre-proteins into the various neurochemicals that you want. So providing those precursors and then signaling saying, hey, we've got enough of this. If you want to go create some dopamine, you can create dopamine now. And then signaling that, saying, hey, let's go create some dopamine, rather than going, let's go create some, we're going to give you dopamine. We're going to give you pure L-DOPA. And we're going to give you 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams of pure L-DOPA. And we're going to decarboxylate it so that it's actually, you know, dopamine in your system. Well, that's going to immediately tell your system, quit creating it. I don't need any more. I got all I can use right now. Let's party for a while. But when you come off of that cliff, you're going to fall hard. And that is the price. You can't, writing those checks is very expensive. And that's why you find people that I've worked at a rehab center in Astoria, Oregon. And every time I saw, whether it was a CEO of a company or a homeless person coming in, and they were trying to get off this thing that they were jonesing for, it was the same problem. Is their receptors had either burned out, saturated, or their downregulation was so hot that they couldn't achieve a feeling of joy. My own wife couldn't achieve a feeling of pleasure anymore because she had been on these painkillers and her receptors are fried, man. Her system wasn't making enough. And she had told it by giving the direct opiate over and over and over to, we don't need to make any of our own opiates. We've got enough coming from outside sources, exogenous sources. So we work really, really diligently to make it so that we use precursors and signaling. And some of that signaling you do personally. If I want to go and I want to up my dopamine levels when I'm on Focus Savagery, right? Our ultimate focus capsule, I'll drop down and I'll do 50 pushups. And those 50 pushups will get the blood circulating. The other is it's going to start getting the adrenals primed, and that's going to flow into this precursors for dopamine that we've got in our system and help to up that level again. And then of course, because we've always got acetylcholine precursors in that as well, we're going to get the acetylcholine flowing across the gap. So I'm going to get my focus, I'm going to get awareness, and I'm going to get cognitive performance are all going to be enhanced from that. Mm-hmm. But I did the work. I just happen to have the precursors to be able to do the work and get the result.
Got it. So do you guys have any recommendations for cycling these different compounds? Are some of them meant to not be used on a daily basis, but only sort of more once in a while others maybe are meant to be used every day? How do you break that down?
Yep. So we have, this sounds cheesy, but we have guides for everything we do. We've got insights, and then we have an app that helps to walk you through. So the first thing is we try to walk you through once you've filled out your intake form. So we've got a neurochemical profile of you that you've given us. It's like a Braverman test. And then we have your insights. Who are you? What age are you? Those kinds of things. Then we take that and you have sliders at the end of the process. You have sliders that say, I want more focus, but I don't want to feel brittle, or I want more kindness, but I don't want to be a pushover, those kinds of things. And so when you're done with that, that allows us to go, okay, we have an idea based on all these factors that we've got of where this person wants to go as a performance lift versus just maintaining whatever they are right now. Mm-hmm. And so we then formulate to that, make sure that you've got that. And then we walk you through as you get your box. So you get this box of solutions, which I will be sending you. I'm disappointed that you didn't have it already.
Me too.
Right? So you're going to go through that. And then for 30 days, we're going to walk you through the process of how to optimize these for you. And then giving us feedback every day going, oh, I tried this based on the guide that you gave me. I did this. And then I did this. And here's my result. Here's how I felt. Here's how I want to feel in comparison. And then we take that data and we're able to compile it and go, okay, next round, we're going to change these components within your capsule, these components within your drink, these components within your spray, and we're going to get them to you. So it's an iterative process with an infinite horizon.
Mark, I wonder if you've ever received my next question. If these supplements can do what you're talking about here and have this level of sophistication and precision around how they can manipulate, alter, I should, people have a negative association with the word manipulate, so I'll say alter, human thoughts, emotions, moods, behaviors. How concerned are you with evil governments getting a hold of this and instituting some kind of Brave New World scenario where they're manipulating the brain chemistry of their population so that they can have their way with them? You know, I think Aldous Huxley wrote a book about this.
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure Huxley did. I think that's a really interesting thought. I know that the performance levels that we're able to accomplish with these are meaningful for a huge portion of our clientele. So, and that makes me feel good because we're accomplishing some of the things we want. Hopefully we're helping people to see that levels of performance are better than levels of drugged out ecstasy or apparent ecstasy, right? And that building a new or higher baseline performance level so that you're with or without these, your baseline is higher and you know what that experience is to have that focus, and your neural pathway that you've been building over the last year or 18 months or 2 years is tappable. You can get into that now, you can go into that state and get there. That would be better than overtaking the government and becoming, so that's one. The other is, I think that the ultimate performance hack, in 20 years or 30 years, hopefully we'll still be around to experience that, is going to be beyond just neurochemical transmitter activity. So I think that we're at the cusp of new approaches. I'm not afraid of some of the stuff. I'm a huge advocate of, I think you are as well, red light therapy. I've got a background in laser technology and light. And so a lot of the stuff that you're familiar with, we're actually starting to work into augmented systems, as well as frequency, both light pulse frequency and electro frequency, and both direct stimulation and magnetic stimulation. So there are these multiple modalities that we're going to be able to apply over the next few years that will make what we're doing right now look like child's play. So my fear of a foreign government getting a foreign government, right? Our own government is is of having a challenge there. I think that the next 5 to 10 levels are going to be, quantum leaps above what we're doing right now. That said, I think that we're going to get there better and healthier by doing what we're doing. Like, I think that improving our cognitive performance is, I don't think there's ever a downside to that. I may be on the spectrum to a certain extent, but I feel that some of the formulas that we've created get me to be more normal in the ways that are worthwhile without losing the things that make me special and help me to perform what I want to do and the ways I want to do it. So
I think in 10 years, we're all going to be walking around with like EEG straps on our head and PEMF devices and red light therapy devices strapped to our body with microchips implanted in our brain that can change our moods at the push of a button. And we can all look forward to a time when maybe we can have just like a bag strapped to our butt so we don't even have to go to a toilet and we can just poop right there wherever we are. And we don't even have to strain, Mark. We could just push a button and it would contract our muscles in our intestines for us and just get the poop out of there without us doing any work.
I'm going to have a cartoonist draw this up, Ari, and get it signed for you, because I think that we need to have an illustration of this final.
I mean, if you think about it, our life as it stands right now is quite primitive.
It's true. Yeah. I'm eating grapes to try to keep my cognitive levels rocking. It's funny.
Well, I have a funny story in that regard to extend this further. I once went, my wife, who's a chef, took me many years ago when I was much less mature and sophisticated. And I'm not that I'm mature and sophisticated now, but I'm more than I used to be. And she took me to a molecular gastronomy restaurant. I don't know if you know what that is. Yeah.
Where are you located?
Right now I'm in Costa Rica. At the time we were living in Winter Park, Florida.
Awesome.
And actually this was a trip we did to Georgia. We were in Atlanta. We went to this restaurant and they served for dessert, they served deconstructed grapes. So they served grapes that they had peeled to peel a grape is not easy.
Right.
Delicately remove the peeled, puree the insides. I think they mixed it with some herbs, maybe some lavender and rosemary or something like that. And then they reshaped it back into the shape of a grape. And I think that's the kind of food we're going to be eating, Mark, when we are walking around with EEG devices and PMF and red light devices attached to our head and poop bags on our butt. You know,
this is pooperator. Yeah.
This is what the diet we're going to be all looking forward to.
Atomic pooperator.
Yeah.
It's funny because my sweetheart is also a chef, and I'm going to send you some stuff. We call it pogo pearls. There's an extract of horny goat weed called Icarin that is not very bioavailable at all, but it's really great as a PDE5 mitigator if you can get it into the bloodstream. But it's only about 12% tops bioavailable. Mm-hmm. We did a extraction technology to make it 80% plus bioavailable. And at that level, it starts acting like your favorite boner pills or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she turned it into caviar. So she made it into caviar.
Wow. That's
great. Included a caviar spoon. Yeah, it's great. It's great. So I'm going to send you some pogo pearls. Enjoy.
Nice. Great name. Are you going to bring that to the market?
We will eventually bring that to market. It'll probably be about a year from now. We're working pretty diligently on, we realize that getting into that market, as you're familiar with your own nutritional supplement development, is getting into that market is creating a brand new company, carving it out, having reducing the guilt by association with our enzyme company and our nootropics company. Mm-hmm. Because when you start dealing with that, those levels of performance enhancement is, you've got a lot of oversight that you've got to address.
A couple more things I'd like to ask you. What do you think the future of mental wellness looks like? And how do you think what your company is doing fits into that?
Let me give you two answers. One, we already know about my wife. And when I found her, I ran up to the master bedroom and there were two emergency personnel, one with a six inch needle about to go through her sternum to try to wake her heart up. So I had that experience of somebody going down the rabbit hole of going, this is the most pleasurable thing in the world. I'm giving birth and I've got these oxycodone, to no longer having pleasure or being able to feel it. And she would come home on a nightly basis and cry, just crying. No reason, just crying. And we'll fast forward a bit. My eldest daughter, her name was Kaylee, a little over a year ago, committed suicide after hearing voices in her head for about a little over three years. She'd become schizophrenic, and the schizophrenia had taken her from a absolutely joyous, super smart girl. She actually interfaced with our customers to optimize their customization profiles. Off the charts, IQ 160 plus, just genius. And schizophrenia just took her life. So I've had an opportunity to kind of experience the gamut of that emotional thing. My perspective on this is that, one, we're going to be able to, using DNA analysis and some other components, we're going to be able to have a better view inside our whole neurology much earlier, so that we can kind of anticipate some of these things. We can anticipate depression and and autism and some of these conditions that right now are guesswork, and we find out about them, you know, far after the developmental process. That's one. And number two is, I think that we have the technologies like transcranial magnetic stimulation, like red light therapy, like psilocybin, where we're going to be able to work with people at the moment of event to pull them back into something that's not just an operational, not just a survival level of whether it's cognitive performance or happiness or joy or focus or whatever, but bring them into an elevated level of those things and make it so that, as a mentor of mine once said, he said, "Mark, here's the deal." He goes, "Life is like this. There's like this straight line going through and you're running on a sine wave, right? So you got your best day ever, multiple orgasms with your lover, and your worst day, you want to put if a gun is nearby, it'd be a dangerous thing." Mm-hmm. We're going to take and we're going to build tolerance, just inherent tolerance, right? So that line that used to be in the middle of the sine wave is now way past the bottom. So our worst day is pretty darn good. And our best day is incredible. Mm-hmm. But what happens is you start to build the differential between those two is the sine wave isn't so big anymore. It's not like great day, suck day, great day, suck day. It's great day, good day, great day, good day. And because those deltas change, and you can do that through any kind of cognitive training, meditation is fantastic for that. Breath work is fantastic for that. I think that hallucinogenic therapies we're on the cusp of being able to apply those. I've had my own experiences from when I was young that were just transformational for me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the future. I think that's component of the future. I you know what I'm super glad about? I'm super glad there are guys like this. Super glad there are guys like this who are on the cusp of these technologies and approaches that are going to give us a new gateway into how to create the perfect state. I want to be a contributor as much as I can. And I think my partners would agree. I don't care if I live to be 180 years old. I'd love to be able to live to 80 or 90 and be a rock star the whole time. Mm-hmm. Turn the switch off when I'm done. Right.
Yeah. Beautiful, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom. This is super interesting stuff. I find the work that you're doing fascinating, very, very novel. This conversation lived up to all my expectations for it. You're absolutely a fascinating guy. And I'm excited to try your formulas. I think if they're even half as good as the claims on the site, then they should be pretty darn amazing. So is there anything you want to offer as far as discounts or anything like that for people to try out these formulas?
Yeah, I think you've got some stuff for the show notes, but yeah, there's definitely a discount available at your at newtopia.com, whatever the link is. Please have that available. I know we got
will. So we'll put it on the show notes for this episode, and we'll put it at theenergyblueprint.com/. Awesome. What should we put it at? Nootopia. 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 And do you know how much discount they're going to get if they go there?
Yeah, 10% discount. Get you started. And Ari, just out of curiosity, what is something that we can do for you? What's something that we could do that would be meaningful for you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We could talk about it another time. I'm happy to just have this conversation with you. And you know, you're out there doing very interesting, novel work. And for me, it's a great pleasure to just have these conversations and be in a position to have these conversations and share it with the world. And hopefully to the benefit of many, many tens or hundreds of thousands of people.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Millions, millions,
millions.
Let's do it.
soon to be millions. All awesome. Right, my friend, really a great pleasure. I look forward to the next conversation.
Thank you, brother. Be well.
You
talk
too.
Soon.
Hey,
Hey there, this is Ari again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you found it valuable, please share it with your friends, share it with your family, help me get the word out there. Also, if you're on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button and hit that little bell to get notifications every time we release a new video or new episode of the podcast. And if you're listening to this, make sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much for supporting my work at the Energy Blueprint. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will see you in the next.